podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
We got a beautiful show. We got some beautiful hosts. We got a beautiful game. We got taste. We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats. And we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Hello, welcome to County Cricket Natters. I'm Annie Chave and I'm here with Sam Dalling and Harry Everett. We may be a touch Somerset-centric, but we share in common a love of the championship as a whole. We're going to take you through the last exciting round, and we're going to start with Division One. And over to you, Sam.
Yeah, thanks, okay. Annie. Three wins in Division One. We're spoiled for results this week, aren't we? I don't know where to start. I'm just having a look through the fixtures. Shall we go? Let's go east. East-ish? Yeah, I think it's south-east. Kent, Surrey, won by an innings and 37 runs. Our absent friend Dan Whiting was there. He's not dead, he's just absent for this episode. The Surrey juggernaut cracks on. Bell Drummond scored more runs for Kent. Sibley, 150. Lawrence, 112. More wickets for Cam Steele as well, the leading wicket taker in the county championship so far. 20 he's got. I just chatted to him. He said it was the coldest he's ever played cricket, and he doesn't like bowling in long sleeve top, so he was out there in just a t-shirt, and he said that was a big mistake. If you watch his first over back, apparently you can see the fingers aren't really going. But Annie, bit of resistance for Kent on that last day. A few Surrey fans might have been worried that Kent were going to hang on for the draw, but they didn't, and the Surrey juggernaut continues.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like a foregone conclusion watching that game. Surrey seemed in such ascendancy, and it was only a matter of time, really. But I can understand they were probably a little bit nervous, a little bit of resistance later on from Everson and Parkinson. But just generally, Surrey are really very, very strong, aren't they?
You say resistance. Don't forget Arafat Bouyan. What a little cameo at the end. I've had him in my fantasy team all blinking season. Took him out and he comes in and takes Kemar Roach for 6-4. Whipping him over mid-wicket. I thoroughly enjoyed watching that on the stream yesterday. That was a nice little highlight for Kent after a few hard days.
How about that, folks? Annie Chave is not the first person to mention the fantasy team on County Cricket Matters. I think that might be a record. We mentioned a little bit of resistance from Matt Parkinson. He also took fifer as well, H. Great to see Parky back bowling his leg spinners down at Kent.
Yeah, that Dan Lawrence dismissal was slightly bizarre. I mean, him and Sibley were going really well, and the way he just went outside leg stump and almost sort of left it, I couldn't quite work that out. But a little bit confident, a little complacent, over 100 perhaps, but yeah, they talked about these Kent four number 11s has been the talk of the championship all week. And I was just enjoying thinking, how's this tail going to get on? But they did wag a little bit. George Garrett is one I've had in my fantasy team for a while. And I like him a lot. Good, strong seamer. And he got a few runs with the bat. He got his first class best. So fair play to him, 48. Coming as a night watchman. Bit of a theme to Division 1 this week. I'm sure we'll mention the other two night watchmen who did all right this week. So long live the night watchman, not the night hawk.
Indeed, perfect performance from Surrey, really. 24 points, you can't ask for any better than that. I think Stan Whiting put that question to Rory Burns, and he couldn't really say much. He was like, yeah, perfect. What more can we ask? And they've got three home games in a row now as well, Surrey. So a nice little stint in London with a week off. Beautiful for Surrey. It'll be a very happy camp. Let's stay east-ish and go to Chelmsford. I tell you what, I really like the look of Essex this year, winning by an innings and 124 runs against Lancashire. 3-7-7, plays 146 and 107. They had a few wicket-keeping issues, actually, Essex. They were missing Adam Rossington, so Michael Pepper took the gloves. He got injured, and so Jordan Cox, unable to keep with a bad finger. And what's really bad is I've completely forgotten the name of the sub wicketkeeper who came on. I'm going to do that. I'm sure Harry will Google it. He'll probably just know it, Harry. Apologies.
Yeah, then I'll pronounce it then.
Go on, go for it.
I he came in from the twos. No, what's his name? Because he took a catch. He took a catch in like his first over.
McKenna. Is it McKenna?
McKenna. Yeah, yeah, McKenna, but his first that's it. Name. What was his first name?
Anyway, we're being unprofessional. It's my fault. Shane Snater. I tell you what a seam attack. Cook, Porter and Snater. 7 wickets for Snater. It feels, Harry, for all the strength of Essex, Elgar scoring runs, Wesley scoring runs, you win championships when the players who aren't your front liners, big names necessarily, are performing. And so I think if Shane Snater has a really good season, takes 30 or 40 wickets, then Essex is going to be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, definitely. I love Shane Snater. It's Ronnie McKenna, 19-year-old from Basildon, the second 11 keeper. But yeah, Shane Snater, I always love that, you know, Jason Roy's cousin stat in being from the Netherlands. I just found that mental when I first heard that. And he's just one of those guys I really rate, and he can bat as well.
Is it a stat if it's his cousin?
Yeah, it's a fact for the stat, I suppose. But it's just one of those things that when you're reeling off stats about someone, I think, sod the stats, sod the numbers. Let's just talk about him being cousin with Jason Roy. I just wouldn't put those two together. And when they play against each other, I've never seen like we've had the Dunley romance, we've had the Overton twin off. I just like, it's one of those funny things in the county championship.
Yeah, it's not a stat, Harry, though. It's just a nice fact. Yes. And of course, Porter took his usual amount of wickets as well. And Harmer came into play as well. So what a great bowling lineup they really do have.
And he hasn't really had to bowl that much yet, Harmer. No. That's the ominous thing. Noah Fain as well, England under-19 star, made his, I think it was his first-class debut. He is one to keep an eye on. Hopefully the wicket-keeping situation sorts itself out, or maybe Ronnie McKenna will get a game up at Durham this week. Lancashire, though, Anna, you look at their lineup and you think that's a bit disappointing. They've got Bohannon, Keaton Jennings, Will Williams, yeah, Harry's favourite cricketer, batting at three. Watchman performance worth talking about, but Nathan Lyon, Bailey, like, it's a good side that, and it's not really performing.
It's really not firing at all. I mean, looking at the scorecard, there's nothing over 30 in the first innings, and they're just, it's really, really very strange, isn't it? Because they have, like you say, some great players. So I don't know what's going on there.
No,
really disappointed still, Lancashire. I can't understand it, Sam. What's Tom Bruce doing back number six as well? You get your overseas player in New Zealand international. I find that a little bit odd. I know the young lads have done well, Bohannon and Balderson, but I'd probably at least have Bruce ahead of Balderson, but I mean, no one's really got runs for them other than, you know, your Wells and your Jennings. I think they rely too heavily on them. Maybe they're missing Dane Vilas, even though he didn't get a big number of runs. They got the young wicketkeepers in, you know, Hurst and George Bell. They've got so many options, but I didn't expect Essex to beat them so easily. And you mentioned Noah Thane. He barely had to bowl. He bowled two and three overs in the two separate innings because Lancashire just fell to pieces.
Yeah, they really did. And speaking of falling to pieces, well, did they fall to pieces? Worcestershire up at Kidderminster, can't play at New Road at the moment. Durham went there and won by 185 runs. It was pretty emphatic. Durham 244 and then 397 for 5 declared place 184 and 272. Who scored the runs? Of course, Dave Bellingham scored runs. 138 for him. Yet another 50 for Ollie Robinson, the wicket keeping one. 75 for Scott Borthwick, who's opening the batting for Durham this year. For Worcestershire, naturally, Jake Libby got 50. Bit of resistance late in the day by Matthew Waite and Nathan Smith, who is a fantastic signing. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Robinson, in fact, got 50s in both innings. Annie, I like the look of Durham. I said it at the start of the season. I mean, we've got Rain, Potts, Delader, Coughlins. So we haven't even seen Wood. Stokes will play a game or two at some point. Cass, like, it's just a serious team, that Durham outfit.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's looking that. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I know you claim that they would be up there, and I really do think they're out to prove a point, aren't they? And say that they completely deserve where they are. They are a really strong looking side, and as you say, they haven't got all their top players in at the moment. So, yeah, they're definitely one to watch.
Harry, if there's an Ollie Robinson playing for England this summer, should it be Durham's?
Well, they're both Kent Academy products, don't forget. People forget that the big seamer, the Yorkshire Sussex, guy, you know, possibly better known. Forget he was at Kent as well in the academy growing up. This Ollie Robinson with the gloves, though. 450s in a row. That washout first game, of course. But 60, 52, 55, 67 not out. I guess he's not getting hundreds because he's not batting high enough up the order, or Bellingham and the other guys are getting too many runs. But I think he's definitely ahead of Roo in the pecking order now. I think it's between him and Jamie Smith as the next two cabs off the rank to replace your folks and your Bairstow.
Yeah, indeed. And Robinson keeping week in, week out might help him. I love that. It's so, I feel so bad. It's like this constant discourse of replacing Ben Foulkes, the best keeper in the world. That's not, that's not a dig at you, H. That's just the general vibe, isn't it? How it seems to be going. And in another era, H, might Jake Libby, who's, I think, the leading championship run scorer since he moved to Worcestershire, he'd be in with a shout. It's probably not going to happen for him given the current state of Test cricket.
Yeah, Cornwall's Jake Libby, who scored a lot of runs for Notts as well, don't forget. I mean, you're right, he's one of those, is he old-fashioned, I guess? He's not Bazball. Alex Lees had a go, Sam Robson had a go, Nick Gubbins, Nick Brown, who's in that sort of era, the last 10 years of opening bats, and he just churns them out. And for Worcester, I wouldn't see Gareth Roderick as an opening bat, to be honest with you. So I think he's done all right, don't get me wrong. But they rely on Jake Libby, I think, and D'Oliveira, particularly in this game, with Ducks in both innings at number threes, and Rob Jones come down from Lancashire. They had Libby at the top, who sort of solidifies it before they got many all-rounders who come in, like Holder, Waite, Smith in the middle order. I think Libby will be absolutely crucial. If he got injured, I think they'd be in big trouble Worcestershire, to be honest.
Well, it'd be good to see Jason Holder get some runs. It's good to see that he got a few wickets in this game too, but be really good to see him out, apart from obviously when we go next week to see him play against Somerset. Harry and I are both going to the first day of Somerset Worcester at Kidderminster, and I'm very keen to see how Jason Holder performs, but obviously,
I was going to say, Annie, be careful what you wish for.
Yes, exactly.
And also, you'll be in trouble with Worcestershire fans for calling them Worcester. Derby, Derbyshire. You're Worcestershire. Yeah. I'm sad to be missing that. I'll be up at Durham, though. That'll be fun. My fiance was delighted with me when I said, I'm doing a bit more live stream work this summer. She went, somewhere close to home, maybe Manchester or London. And I said, no, Durham. I've got the two opposite ends of the country. Jake Libby, by the way, 48 first-class games for Worcestershire. It's the same number that you played for Nottinghamshire. For Notts, 2,200 runs at 26.82 since he went and joined the Pairs. 3,666 runs at 50.91, 1,200s, 1,550s. I mean, what's a boy got to do?
Yes.
I don't know. Anyway, those were the results. If I keep saying that, a draw is a result.
A draw is a result. Yeah. It is a result.
Let's go to Taunton, because we were all there at various points, fighting between the live stream and the BBC commentary box.
Yep.
Somerset had a brilliant day one and day two. The WinViz predictor or whatever it was said 90% chance of a Somerset win. Then Joe Clark and Will Young happened, Harry. And actually, on the last day, we got about 45 minutes. The ball, funnily enough, they changed balls about 35 overs.
Yeah.
Into the secondary ball, and it started hooping around for about four overs. Then they went off for rain. You know, no one really wanted to be there with the best ball in the world. But yeah, probably a fair result given the balance of play, H.
Yeah, all three of us are going to leave right now, aren't they? Yeah, someone's got to make a Will Young reference, but he's a class act. And Joe Clark's been getting runs for fun so far in this season. They are good batters. And Hamid played an awful shot in the first innings. Ben Slater played an awful shot in the second innings. So that got Somerset up and about, thinking, going to get through them here. And Craig Overton did bowl superbly, rightfully man of the match with bat and with ball. But yeah, they're a funny old side, Notts. On paper, I think they're very good. I think they'll be one of the better sides in the championship. But they look pretty poor in the first innings. Partly good Somerset bowling, of course. But yeah, when Will Young and Joe Clark got going, it just looked like Somerset could not get them out. Was it 93 overs without a wicket on Sunday? And then, yeah, like you say, the new ball yesterday maybe could have changed. It didn't actually rain that much in the southwest. It wasn't anything like as bad as forecast, but enough rain just to keep them off. They were never quite going to go back on because you can't start in rain. And once the covers came down, hands were shaking quite early.
It was horrible. Fair enough. It was horrible weather. It was cold and it was just steady rain. It was just freezing. I mean, really horrible. I think it was a game of two pitches as well. I think the first day it was good. It was doing stuff. The second day it was starting to level out. Third day, dead as a dead thing.
Dead as a dead thing. There you go.
Dead as a dead thing.
Nottingham sure will have Ben Duckett back next week. He was rested at the behest of the ECB. I never know the logic behind these restings and requirements. But hey-ho, he didn't play against Somerset. And a quick word on, well, Craig Overton was back. He bowled beautifully. Yes. I think people were going to have to stop pissing him off when he was batting. Yes. It was Miguel Pretorius played a naff shot at the Oval. And then on 95, I think, Tom Banton describe Shoaib Bashir's slog as a funny moment. I can't remember what the term he used, a brain fade. We're all allowed a brain fade, so people stay away from Craig Overton. Brilliant to see him back ticking, and brilliant to see Dixon and Banton get some attractive runs.
Yeah, I mean, poor Craig, he hasn't had a 100, I think, was it since 2016 and he was so close, and all Bashir needed to do was hold up that end, and no, he didn't. And Craig, as soon as that happened, swished his bat and ran off as fast as he could. Yeah, he wasn't going to come back, go back in with Bashir at that point. Probably wise. But yeah, what a really upsetting thing to happen to Craig.
I was chatting to Craig's girlfriend, Aisha, afterwards, and then I was in the ring of bells with them, literally sat at the table next to us for 2 hours after the game, and I was like really tempted with Craig. I was like, do I bring it up? He probably didn't want to talk about it. He's probably still livid. Because Craig took the one to mid wicket at the start of the over.
Yes, exactly.
I didn't want to say, did he regret that? But you trust the shoe. One of the better number 11s. And yeah, it was an awful, awful shot. And I think they all know that. And they'll be teasing you about that for the rest of the season. Now Craig's maybe not got over it, but given it a few days, I'll start ripping into him, I think.
Yes, definitely good to allow a little bit of time for it to sink in and a little bit of contemplation. Right, one more game in Division One. Down at, it's not called the Aegeus Bowl anymore, is it? It's the Utilita Bowl down at Southampton. Whatever bowl it is.
We'll call it a bowl.
The pitch is flat as they come, I think, down there. Warwickshire seems to be playing on flat ones at the moment. They only got 24 wickets in the entire game. Runs for Alex Davies and Rob Yates again, and Will Rhodes. That top three is really firing for Warwickshire, albeit on some, well, relatively sedate pitches. Five for Mr. Liam Dawson. Hundreds for Hampshire's Fletcher Middleton and Nick Gubbins. Annie, I'll come to you first. I guess Warwickshire are drawing these games, but because it's 8 points for a draw, it's not doing them too much harm at the moment.
I don't know how I feel about the 8 points for a draw. It's kind of like we'd only just digested 5 points for a draw, and now we're having to go back to 8 points for a draw. But yeah, they're still up there, aren't they? Getting these draws, but they're certainly getting a lot of batting practice, I'd say. Good to see some great schools going on. But yes, it's not ideal, but. Davies, 149, he was right up there getting close to, wasn't he? Him and Joe Clark were in competition to get first to 500. Very impressive batting from Davies.
Feels like the 1,000 before May could well be on this year. Hey, do you know much about Fletcher Middleton?
Yeah, big fan of Fletcher Middleton, actually. Really liked the way he batted. He got a little bit of criticism for batting too slowly is the only issue yesterday. If he'd 116 off 329 balls, definitely not Baz ball, strike rate at 35. But a lot of talent. He's Fletcher with an A. I've always makes me laugh. Not Fletcher like Luke Fletcher. So get your spelling right on that. A bit like the Alistair Cook that always used to trip me up. Alistair Cook, isn't it? Not Alistair Cook. But Fletcher Middleton, he will open all season. I thought he'd open with Gubbins, to be honest with you. I thought Ali Orr would be more in the middle order. But then James Fuller came in at four. So James Vince has been a bit funky with his batting lineup. Liam Dawson is a class act. His five for in the first innings shows how good he is. But then when Rob Yates is getting a four for, does that make you think the pitch is flat, but it's taking spin more? Danny Brink's getting three wickets as well. Bit of a funny one. I think some Warwickshire games this year have just been a bit dull, haven't they? We haven't had a thrilling game with Warwickshire yet. It's a lot of runs.
Talking of the or, I'm not 100% sure either that or should be opening. I think I'd put him at three. And like you, I'd put Gubbins up there instead.
Yeah, interesting. We'll see where it goes. Gubbins is having a brilliant time, by the way. He kind of reinvented himself. He had that amazing season, didn't he, when Middlesex won the championship. Then he fell away a little bit. But since he's moved down to Hampshire, averaging almost 42, 700s, 950s. So it's good to see him showing the class he has got.
He wanted to get away from the Middlesex, the Lord's pitch, didn't he, really?
Yes, not Middlesex's.
Yeah.
Careful.
Well, yes, I'm sure we will come on to that because I'm done with Division One. Annie, over to you, H.
Oh, I better start with Middlesex, didn't I? Middlesex won by 6 wickets against Yorkshire. And Yorkshire are a bit of a shocker, really, aren't they? All this talk about Harry Brook and Joe Root. I get a bit fed up of county cricket suddenly talking about test stars. I just want to enjoy the guys that play week in, week out. I feel like sometimes the commentary or the reports just always focus on the England guys as if the county champions is only a breeding ground for them. I mean, I guess we all have a little chuckle when they don't do particularly well. Zach Crawley didn't get any runs either. But Ryan Higgins, what a man. He's a class act. Another fourfer for him. Not big runs, quite a low scoring game in this one. The opening bowlers for Yorkshire did particularly well. Ben Code, fourfer, and Thompson got his fifer. But a low-scoring affair. Middlesex winning by 6 wickets. It got a little bit nervy, but they got over the line with Higgins, of course, 33 not out in the end. And, yeah, what's your thoughts on what's going on at Lord's, Annie?
Yeah, it's just quite fun. Just the thing you mentioned about the England stars, there was an interesting comment on my Facebook page where someone said, Root, Crawley, Brooke, not good enough for championship cricket. Like, that really made me laugh because it's
a fair comment. It's accurate at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, so that made me laugh. Yeah, well, on the Middlesex pitch, or leaving, the idea of them leaving, or just generally?
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, it changes every week. There's different updates.
I think it's just a story that keeps coming back time and time again. I mean, yeah, they're in financial big stress at the moment, but I mean, it's happened before. They've talked about it before. So I don't see anything major happening, certainly immediately.
And Sam,
it's good,
50,
it's good 50. To see them win. Sorry, I'm just, you know, it's really good to see a win for Middlesex.
Yeah, and Sam was going to say 50 for Josh DeCares. We've talked about him a lot, off spinner who can bat. But Lewis DePloy, another 51, or Lewis, I should probably say, shouldn't I? I know you've seen a bit of DePloy. What's your thoughts on him? 42 in the second innings as well. Good signing.
Yeah, fantastic signing. I think Derbyshire were pretty gutted to lose him. He's one of those who flies under the radar a little bit. And they didn't have the budget for an overseas player, Middlesex, this year. But I think DePloy is of that level. I think you could put him in a category where if a team signed him as an overseas and he was there for the whole season, you'd think, yeah, actually, that's a decent acquisition. I think he's got a good cricket brain. He smashes it as well. He's played a fair bit of white ball cricket, so he'll play all formats. And I think he will score heavily for them. It's just what a difference a ball makes. I think the Kookaburra, Middlesex's bowlers, were 1,200 for 11, and they've taken 20 wickets for about 403 runs. So it just goes to show the difference between the two balls.
Indeed it does.
Right, should we go next to the wettest place on Monday? Sadly, Derbyshire's had a bit of a habit of being very wet recently. Some shocking pitches. It's not their fault. If it tips it down, the drainage isn't quite at what you have at a test ground. But Marcus Harris, 214. Leicestershire, wow, they look a good side. 574 for 7 declared. They're still only third in the table. They've still not won a game. They've drawn all three. But what was mystifying me, I was still at the top of the Somerset stand on Saturday evening with Ian Shepherd, the Brightside Life podcast host, and we were saying, when's Ben Green going to bat? When's Ben Green going to bat? Open the batting in Division 1 in the Bob Willis Trophy final, you know, did all right for Somerset, has battled all over, but has opened. Batting number nine for Leicestershire, which I thought was quite shocking, really, but everyone else got runs. Everyone got to double figures. Louis Kimber's 10 at number 3 was a lowest score. So many runs in there to talk about for Leicestershire. Derbyshire toiled and toiled. Even Alex Thompson, after all his wickets in the early games, couldn't get the breakthrough. But Sam, we know, we've talked about Marcus Harris on the stream loads of times. His run playing in Taunton club cricket, and you look at him, Renshaw, Bancroft, all trying to get that David Warner spot. Will Kawaja is well over 30. Who's going to open for Australia? You know, Will Pukowski with his concussion. There's so many different lines to the story of the Australian opener. But Marcus Harris, I know you love him in Taunton. So go on, give us what you got on Marcus Harris, Sam.
The thing is, he's played 14 tests and done okay, but never made the spot his own. And you're right, there are a few Aussies retiring or moving on, so that might give him a new opening. But I wonder if they also might move on. He's only 30, so you never know. But as a county cricket signing, he is absolutely perfect. He's in the kind of the Jamie Cox, the Stuart Law, the Di Venuto kind of mold. I mean, I don't know, Lehman and Hussey went on and played a lot of cricket for Australia. But if you can have a player like that at the top of the order, they were really disappointed when they lost him to Gloucestershire for a couple of years. Remember, he was at Leicestershire initially for his first stint in county cricket. Now he's back. And you look at that Leicestershire batting lineup, and there's a reason Green's batting at nine. I mean, of course, he's only there for 3 weeks, so they're looking after their own. But then you look down the lineup and you go, Rishi Patel had a cracking year last year. Hills had a cracking couple of years. Hanscom in at five. Travaskis, they're signing from Durham, all-rounder. Cox, they picked up from Worcestershire. Ben Mike is back there. Like, that is a strong side for Division 2. Ray and Ahmed didn't play in this game either. If Harris can keep scoring regularly, then they would have won this game, right? But for the rain, they'd have had a comfortable victory. Alfonso Thomas is there as coach alongside James Taylor, I think, who's coaching there as well. It feels like this might be a year for Leicestershire. Yeah. And I would love to see them in Division 1 next year.
I think it's really, really disappointing for them that the rain came and they didn't get that chance. So, you know, made Derbyshire follow on and still didn't get the result. They must have been very, very frustrated indeed. Because, like Sam said, that's a really, really good looking lineup. And Hanscom's enjoyed himself up at Leicestershire. He's been playing really well, and he's in at five. So, going from strength to strength. I feel sorry for Derbyshire at the moment. They need some dry weather.
Yeah, I almost feel like the tides are turning a little bit. That's almost like the strongest Leicestershire side I can remember in my lifetime, really. They put their backroom, the staff troubles of recent years behind them, and maybe Derbyshire are going to be the side in that area of the country that can be really struggling. I mean, it's very early days, and as you say, the weather's not helped. But
yeah, they've got Mickey Arthur. He's a powerhouse behind the scenes. So hopefully he's there to concentrate on them and hasn't got Pakistan in the background this year. Mm. So I think that's going to make a difference.
Another high scoring first innings at Wantage Road, Northamptonshire, 605 for six declared. But that was after Glamorgan were 271 all out. So it wasn't both innings. North East, only 13. We're going to be on North East watch ever since that first innings, of course, of the season at Lords. Ben Sanderson, 5 for 92. We talk about him every year, don't we? Class act, particularly with the Duke's ball. He'd be glad to have that back in hand. But Ricky Vasconcelos, absolutely love him. Class act with a bat. Him and Karen Nair, massive partnership. Proctor got 65 as well, standing skipper. And then another massive partnership. Saif Saeed, the sort of all-rounder. Bowls a bit of spin, bats in the middle order. I quite like Northants. I don't think they're going to be far away from the promotion mix-up. If they can keep Ben Sanderson fit, he's probably their main bowler. I mean, the match was drawn, but they weren't miles away from him. If they'd had more play yesterday, then they only needed seven more wickets to beat Glamorgan, 104 for three, with the top three all gone. I think Northants could have had a good sniff at winning this game.
Yeah, it's a bit topsy-turvy this season for Division 2, isn't it, at the moment? The Northants and Leicestershire doing well. It's a really interesting turnaround. And as you say, really strong-looking side. And nice to see Nair with 202 not out.
Yeah, we talked about him a lot on the stream because Pete Treager had him at Burbage and Eastern Royal in the Wepple, Wiltshire, Gloss division. I still can't believe he didn't play more test cricket. That's a bit of a bizarre story. Again, I've had him in my fancy team. He was on my bench, but he came in for Kashif Ali, so I'm delighted there. But George Bartlett didn't get many runs. That's why we always have a bit of a look for George Bartlett from Somerset, of course. Ollie Sale didn't didn't end up playing much for Northampton, having actually retired. But Sam, what's your thoughts on these high scoring draws? Now we've got the Duke's ball and Wantage Road, you wouldn't think of as a really flat pitch. It's still April. What's your thoughts on that?
No, they had a high scoring game against Middlesex in a very low wicket game. But yeah, we changed balls, but it was only one side. It was a dominant performance, really. It's another one of those that you would have expected Northamptonshire to go on and win. You got the class of Curran there, like you say, test match triple 100 and barely plays after that. But I like Vasconcelos. He's been around for a while now. He's so easy on the eye when he gets going. He made runs at Taunton last year.
He did,
And just looked absolutely brilliant. And he was skipper for a bit, wasn't he, when Rossington left. And they took that away from him. And I basically relieved him from that burden. And if he can find consistency, he could quite comfortably top the run scoring charts in Division 2. He really is a wonderful player to watch. Yeah, there are strong sides in Division 2. It's going to be a hell of a race for promotion.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'd say the most exciting game to the last in Division 2. My BBC Live Text colleagues were kept until pretty late in the day, concentrating on just one game in the end, as Sussex eventually got over the line by 4 wickets. Bit of rain, bit of delay. Zafar Gahar, what a player. He'd have been man of the match for Gloucestershire, I reckon, with runs and wickets. Just one of those players that just does enough. He does a bit in one innings, then a bit in the other innings, and kept Sussex a little bit frustrated. He thought Sussex were going to win this more comfortably. That run out for Pajara was mental. When he was run out for 86, watch that clip back on the County Championship social media. But no one got 100 for Sussex. 479. You had 80 for Allsop, Pajara, Simpson got 78, and then 83 for Lamb. Lamb, who's at Gloucestershire, Lancashire, Somerset. He's been all over the place. And I thought he was, more of a 9 or 10. He plays a frying pan shot in white ball cricket pretty well. But he's been getting some decent runs, particularly with John Simpson in partnership the last couple of weeks. And Sam, are you surprised to see Lamb with so many runs with a bat?
I don't really know. I'll be honest. I've not seen much of him bat at all. So I'm going to defer to you, Harry. I expect you probably know more about him.
Well, yeah, I suppose, you weren't there for any of the One Day Cup games last year. So Somerset, he was there batting 9 or 10. Gloucestershire, Lancashire, he'd never really got big runs, but fair play. He's doing the business. But Annie, what have you got to say on this Sussex win by 4 wickets? And Sussex, if you look at Division 2 table, Sussex are sitting right at the top now.
They are, and I think it's partly the John Simpson factor. I think that was such a great, great signing for them, and I hope for him as well. And he's a captain that is obviously making things happen, and he's been consistent. It's just lovely. And, Pajara, what can I say? They have this... it's lovely to see an overseas player consistently playing for a side, and I think that makes a difference, and I think that makes for a happy side, and perhaps they're a bit happy at the moment, which is fantastic. He can't fail to be happy living playing at that beautiful ground by the sea, Hove by the sea. It's just perfect, isn't it? But it was a really exciting finish, and that's a great way to have ended this round, I think.
They looked happy when they were singing the team song afterwards. But let's talk about Jaden Seals. How good does this lad look? I don't know an awful lot about him, but good, strong action. 4 for 18, 16.2 overs, 7 maidens, 4 for 18 in the second innings. At a point where Gloucestershire were digging in and making life difficult for Sussex, he finished them off. He is an exciting prospect.
Definitely.
I love watching him in the series down under in the winter. You know, I love it when you're in your pyjamas, cold and wet, sat in England, watching the test matches down under. And I love watching him bowl. Him and Shamar Joseph, I think, very exciting. West Indies cricket have been through a tough phase for a few years, but with Kemo Roach being whacked around by Kent's number 11, they need the likes of these two youngins to come in and do well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Lovely to have Jason Holder over as well. So, and lovely to have the West Indies test side over this season.
And Carlos Brathwaite, new signing for Bridgewater. I'm going to have to play against Carlos Brathwaite.
Oh, yes, of course.
So
that's
watch. If I come in with some bruises all over me, because he's whacked it straight back at me, bowling at him from 22 yards, you know what's happened.
I might have to try and come along and watch that, Harry. That would be enjoyable.
Yeah, that could be carnage. Yeah, see, signed for Bridgewater.
The thing I love about Seals, by the way. One of the amazing things about Seals, he was meant to go to Sussex last year, wasn't he? Do you remember? And he got injured, so he couldn't come across.
Yeah.
And then, so I love the fact he's like fulfilled that. He's gone, right, I'm going back. I'm going to make sure I play for them. Brilliant stuff.
Yep.
Good loyalty. Good loyalty with overseas Sussex, don't they?
Yeah.
So we talked about Pajar and Tremaine, you know, we talked about him, the Northants I was thinking about. And who was the overseas? McAndrew, was it? Yes, who was who they had before. So, anyway.
Anyway, that wraps up Division 2 and that wraps up the show. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Harry and Sam. It's it was another great round, and we've got another one starting on Friday. They come thick and fast at this time of year. So we'll be back, and we'll be back next week in some form, and I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.
We got some beautiful chats. We got some beautiful stats, and we won't stop talking. We won't give it a rest. And as a matter of fact, it's time to get it off our chests. Cricket, 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 cricket.
Podcast Network.